Thank you, Lord, for giving us that armor. Amen.
Amen.
That we can stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, the devil's a wily character. He's a wily character. He's got a lot of years of practice, a lot more years than any of us, doesn't he? He knows very, very, very well how to perfectly trip us up in any manner of number of different ways. He's equal opportunity that way. Any opportunity he has, he'll take. And I share it with you from that perspective because, see, the wiles of the devil throw out rule book Christianity. Because, you know, we talk about how two people can do the same thing, and one person it can be of God and another person it not be of God. The exact same thing. The exact same thing. Two people can go to church service. One can go seeking the Lord. One can go justifying themselves because they, you know, they're justified because they showed up. One receives blessings. The other receives nothing. Think of that. Even something like going to church service for an individual is not necessarily of God. That's pretty scary, isn't it? So where do we go on all these things? Where do we stand? See, we look at that scripture over there in Proverbs where it says Proverbs 3, and let me just go over there for a moment, just so I quote it correctly. I quote it to myself in prayer a lot. In fact, I think I was even quoting it when I was out praying before service. But let's look at it. It says, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. All right. See, that whole part, lean not unto thine own understanding, is the antithesis or the opposite of rule book Christianity, right? Because that appeals to our carnal mind. We can understand it. Okay, I do this, I do that, I'm okay. If I don't do this, then I'm not okay or whatever. And that's what the Pharisees did, right? And were they okay? No, in fact, Jesus said they were of their father, the devil, so that you couldn't get any farther away at all from him. He said the publicans and sin and harlots would enter before them. Publicans and harlots being the people who everybody else in Israel thought were definitely the unrighteous. I mean, if there was any two groups of people who were unrighteous, it was the harlot. Not because I used the harlot, but because she was a harlot. The fact that I used it, I could be forgiven of. But that she was a harlot, that was the end of the story, right? Isn't it funny how it works that way? But the fact of the matter is that he said that they would enter in before the religious out here. And I share this because we've been talking about peculiarity, becoming a peculiar people who are purified by the Lord and zealous unto good works. That was Titus chapter 2, and I'll go over here and read it real quick so we get it accurately. It's Titus chapter 2, verse 14, referring, who gave himself, that is Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, that is pride, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Tonight I was out there praying and stuff like that, and it was funny, the first thing I was doing is I had to get past myself on some stuff. And it's funny, it's a silly, stupid thing. Really, you would think if I were to tell you and all the different things, but, you know, for example, today I was on the phone, and I'd been on the phone and chatting with Ann and others for the last little bit about DirecTV versus Dish Network. Now, I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, I understand TV can be pretty important, but I'm guessing, and Johnny's kind of shaking his head over there. Johnny, I mean, do you know God actually cares about such things because he cares about us? But on the other hand, it's not like his number one priority, I don't think, as far as what we're supposed to be about and doing. And you know what? You can choose one or you can choose the other for any of a number of different reasons. And what you'll find is that the reasons people choose, others will judge one another for why they chose something. could be because you save money, and some people think, well, that makes the most sense. Of course, that's what I should do. Some people would say, no, that doesn't make sense because this other one's better, and don't you get it? It's got this. And the fact of the matter is, you know what? Neither of those things make it of the Lord either way. Neither of those things make it of the Lord either way. Just saving money doesn't make that of the Lord, and not saving money doesn't make it, getting it because it's better or something like that, on the other hand, doesn't make that one of the Lord. And yet we in our nature, how do we judge these things? Each of us have our thing that we like, and we judge it according to that. And we find fault with others. Now, I'm not actually trying to put this on anybody here, mind you. Don't even, and that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm just using it as an example. I'm using it purely as an example. I know, James, if you're listening out there, you'd be like, man, I can save $75 a month using DirecTV. That's the way to go. Why would anybody go with anything else? And the fact of the matter is, in so doing, you could be doing the wrong thing. And somebody else who is going with Dish Network and paying $75 more is doing the right thing. See, what happens is it all comes down to where you're coming from on a thing. You know, what's your motive? What are you seeking to do? Some people would say, well, look, saving the money's being a good steward, right? We're supposed to be good stewards. So some people would say, that's it. Yeah, could be. On the other hand, somebody could say, why do you have so little faith that you can't believe God for $75 a month for that which you prefer? Which way do you go? Which way do you go? You follow what I'm saying? I mean, these are little things, but it's funny how many people fall out on these things on different angles and then judge the other people who make a different decision to them. And see, if we're going to really become that peculiar people, well, I'll tell you what, one of the things about peculiar people, and we were talking about this the other day, no two peculiar people look alike. Isn't that amazing? You go through and you look at the men and women of God in the Bible, did they look alike? Did their lives resemble one another mightily? You know, I mean, look, some were very rich. Abraham was rich, had hundreds of servants. Does that mean that if you are rich and have hundreds of servants, you're of God? Well, some people seem to think so. In the scripture, it says, supposing that gain is godliness, from such turn away. So there's some that actually think that. And Jesus says, those that think that way, turn away from them. They're wrong. He says in another place, for the love of money is the root of all evil. But then does that mean Abraham, because he had a lot of money, was wrong? How about David? He had a lot of money at one time. I mean, he had no money at one time. He was a vagabond being chased everywhere. He didn't have much of anything. Another time he had money. He was king of Israel, and he had nice house and different things. Does that mean that you're right? It's because you got that? Short answer is no. See, and this, now this begins to really work at something. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is because one of the things it really works at, see, it said purify. If you look over there in Titus, it says purify unto himself a peculiar people, will redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. And if you're going to be not judging by your own understanding, and if you're going to be a peculiar person and allow somebody else to be peculiar and extraordinarily different from you in their own peculiarness, how then do you judge? And what I'm bringing this up is that the basis upon which most of you judge is completely faulty. It's based on your own understanding and how you do things. And you think the way you do things, or were brought up to do things, is the way to do things. And the way somebody else was brought up and the way somebody else does things is the wrong way. And you judge people by how you do it. And you put on people motives for why they do a thing when it's different from you, that maybe the motive you would have if that's what you're doing, but it doesn't mean it's the motive they're having. I share this with you because all of a sudden what happens is you begin being provoked quite a bit to go to the Lord. And you stop bringing your own judgment to situations, and you start going to the Lord and seeking His. And in seeking His, you're not seeking to be justified yourself. You're seeking actually what he would have you do. And when you're going to him for somebody else, you're not seeking to justify yourself against that person or justify yourself in anything you ever said or did to that person. You're seeking what's best for that person. Changes the whole way in which you look at all sorts of things. You start going down this path. Really changes a lot of things. And all of a sudden, you know, Francisco used to have this saying, it is simple, it no easy. He used to say, it is simple, it no easy. And all of a sudden you realize, yeah, it's simple. You go back to Jesus. It's not easy because you don't know what is the right situation there. And I share this with everybody because if you look at it within the fellowship and you look at it, it says, from whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Cometh it not from your own lust that war in your members? And it also says in another place, only by pride cometh contention. These are different things. See, when you're leaning on your own understanding and when you're judging everybody else by the way you do things, that's called pride. And what happens is anybody who does something different than the way in which you do it, all of a sudden they become wrong and they become your enemy or they become any of a number of different things. The fact of the matter is when you can hear another person and you can consider another alternative and learn a different way, you know what's going to happen? Your life's going to be enriched and so is your ministry going to be enriched. Because as you learn those different things, all of a sudden ideas as to what might be going on with another individual or what might be right for another individual in a different situation, your whole mind, your whole perspective on things grows and you're far freer in the Lord to minister unto people as he would have you minister because you've gotten shed of your preconceived ideas and notions. It's a really important point to learn as you go forward in the Lord. Because I can tell you, I mean, take Davey and I as just two different people. Take Davey and I traveling. I don't think you could get two people whose ideas of travel were different than Davey and I. I don't know. I suppose it's possible to get more opposite than Davey and I were in traveling. But me, I'm a guy, you know, I get into a place, I want to find out everything about it. I want to go around and go to everything. I want to go do all this stuff. I'm like exploring everything beforehand, trying to check things out, going to go do stuff and things like that. Davey would arrive and he would sit right where he was. It didn't mean he wouldn't ever go out, but he didn't go out a whole lot. I mean, he would sit right where he was. And what would happen is the Lord would bring people to him. It used to happen all the time in different situations. And Davey would look at somebody like me and be like, what in the hell are you doing running all over the place? And I'd be looking at a guy like him going, how can you just sit there like that? I have no idea. And, you know, for me, because I was always under Davey's authority, I used to sometimes be under condemnation about my inclinations or desires to go do something else. And I always felt like when I did that I was somehow doing something wrong, but I was hoping to God I wasn't. I was really not trying to do something wrong, but I was just like a shaken up soda bottle whose top was a little loose and it was going to explode if you didn't do something with me. So I would periodically go do something. And I remember talking with Davey one time about it after being in condemnation for a lot of time and stuff like that. And he said to me, he said, oh no, I think it's great that you go do those things, Steve. I'm thinking, wow, that was news to me. Who would have known? You know what I'm saying? And I share it with you from this perspective because sitting there can be wrong too. Could have been wrong for Davey to be sitting there. Can be hiding or laziness. And for me, going out and doing stuff could be all about me and what I want and not at all about the Lord and other people and what he would have me do. So you can't even judge it by, well, one person likes to do this and the other person likes to do that, or one person's doing this and the other person's doing that. No. Each situation, every day, is a new day. And what you did yesterday that worked doesn't mean that's what the Lord will have you do today. And just because something worked for you doesn't mean that's what the Lord would have that person do who you're ministering to. I know I listen to folks, and there's nothing wrong with sharing your testimony, but it's an interesting thing to me sometimes to listen to how many people go, well, when I was in that situation, this is what I did. And don't get me wrong, there's a place and a time for that. There are places and times for saying something like that. especially when, you know, you're not sure what, sure or whatever, and you say, look, I'm not sure what's the right thing. I can tell you when I was in a similar situation, this is what I did. And the Lord honored it, you know, and the other person can hear that and the Spirit can bear witness to that. That's what the Lord would have them do. And they can do it and the Lord will honor it. Another person can do it just out of, not out of faith in God or anything like that, but out of idolatry of you or something else that's wrong. And they can go do it and have a completely different result. So this walk of faith is something that our carnal mind, you know, lean not unto thine own understanding, cannot get a handle on. Peculiarness, you know, look, I mean, you got the guy like, you know, John the Baptist, who was a Nazarene, like Samson was a Nazarene. I don't know about you, but my sense was that Samson and John the Baptist didn't share a whole lot more in common than long hair and a long beard. I don't know. They don't talk a lot about either of them that much, but it seems, I mean, John the Baptist was out there eating locusts and wild honey, and Samson was over there getting engaged to Philistine women and kicking their you-know-what with the jawbone of an ass and tying foxes together and doing all sorts of different things. Very, very, very different guys. Both were Nazarenes. Both were Nazarenes, and yet the way their ministry manifested was radically different. So I'm sharing this with you because I want to be provoking to you to embrace the walk of faith. You know, Davey used to talk many times about how we can go back to where Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden before the fall. You know, what does John say over in 1 John, I think it is? He talks about where there is no law, there is no sin. All right, where you can actually go and be free, but bound to your Lord Jesus Christ. Not free as an occasion to your flesh and to satisfy your flesh, but free to serve God however it is he would have you serve him. And I share this with you because this is a big challenge. I mean, just think about it for a moment. I mean, I don't know how many of you have interacted with these ideas that I'm throwing out here. How many of you have really interacted with seeking the Lord from the standpoint of recognizing that there's not a rule book you can look to guide your every step. See, the Bible, the things I'm talking about, there's no way to reconcile as a rule book the Bible and the lives of many of the individuals we have. Let's take David and Saul, for example. If we're just looking at David and Saul after the natural, we're not looking at their hearts. We're just looking at them after the natural. All right? Let's look at it. Saul's sin that comes up and is spoken of is he was told to go over and I think defeat the, I don't remember, the Amalekites or somebody like that. And they were supposed to kill them all and they were supposed to destroy all of their cattle and everything like that. And he saved the king alive. And he left the he let the children of Israel take the best of their cattle, and they made sacrifice unto God. All right, first of all, let's just stop here for a moment. How many people, and I don't want to see hands or anything like that, how many people have done something similar where they didn't really do what God said, but you came back with something else, and then you offered something else about which was wonderful about what you did instead of what he said? How many of you have ever done that? Like I said, I don't want to see any hands, but just think about it for a moment. All right, so Saul, all right, there you are. There you are. Now look at David. David's sin was he went and committed two sins that, according to the law, were penalized by death. Adultery and murder. Two sins, according to the law, that were punishable by death. And yet, David found a place of grace in the sight of the Lord, and Saul did not. Right? Saul did not. Now, for those who understand things a little bit more deeply, looking under the surface, when David's sin was brought to his attention, he was quick to acknowledge it and repent. When Saul's sin was brought to his attention, he was quick to justify himself. Wait a second. More people are beginning to look like Saul than David already, aren't they? More people are looking like Saul rather than David already. You know, when you justify yourself, what you're engaging in is a little thing called iniquity. It's called pride. When you're saying you are just. The scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. So what happens is when you begin to get a handle on these things and you begin to take a look at things and seek to see things from the Lord's perspective. Remember, we had the prayer in Ephesians about opening up the eyes of our understanding. Oh, and that we may know the breadth and length and depth and height of God's love and be filled with all the fullness of God. What he wants us to do as a people is to open ourselves up so that we can recognize what he's doing with other people, what he's doing, how he's interacting in situations with people. I'm not going to name names, but I'll give you an example. I remember years, not that many years ago, I was talking with Brother Davey about a man, and he was saying to me that he kind of wished this man fell into adultery. Sounds odd for a minister to say that, right? He kind of wished that this man would fall into adultery. The reason why he kind of wished this man would fall into adultery is he thought it would be good for him. It would be good for him so that he would be kind of off his high horse and thinking he was something when he was nothing. And so he thought that that actually might prove a useful thing. Now, what was funny is some years before, my mother had said to me, she was in the Methodist Church in Kensington, Maryland. So anybody out there listening from Maryland or Kensington area, she was in a church down there called St. Paul's Methodist Church. And when I was a kid and I was going to church over there, they were the ushers, I think. They probably call them deacons too, but I only knew them as ushers. They were the more important people who came and passed the kind of gold-plated plates, or maybe they were brass, I'm not sure. They would pass them down the aisles and then wait for the money to come back, and they would count it up and stuff like that. They were obviously important. I happened to have been in Sunday school with one of their children one time, and he was obviously more important than I was. Because he was this person's child, you know, and everything. And I was there, and my mother tells me years later, I'm a minister at that point. She calls me up. We were working in Berlin at the time. It was back in the 90s, Charlie. My mom calls me up and she says, "Stephen, do you remember such and such and such and such from church?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think I remember that family." She said, "You won't believe what happened." I said, "What's that?" She said, "Well, when we were going through the 60s and stuff, and you know, my brother Michael had the long hair and was doing drugs and having children outside of wedlock, all the good stuff, you know, free love. He was a musician, a guitar player. He was the whole nine yards, you know, dropping out of school, living on a commune. While all this was happening, this other family was, you know, looking down their nose at the other people in the church whose children had done these things. Now, first of all, I'm not justifying any of the children in doing the things they do or justifying their parents in the way in which they handled it, honestly. I'm not justifying that at all. But the one thing I kind of realized, and the Lord gave me an insight into this family as my mom was saying this to me, was that this was a family that actually legitimately thought they were serving the Lord. They really thought that's what they were doing, that they were doing God's service here. They had no idea that they were workers of iniquity. And so my mother, as she's telling me, she says, "You won't believe what happened to their daughter." I said, "What's that?" "She's pregnant outside of wedlock." I said, "Praise God!" My mom, of course, being a good Methodist, was horrified at my answer, utterly horrified at my answer. "How can you say praise God to such a horrible thing?" I said to her, "Well, shoot, Mom, if they couldn't learn the grace of God and truth in ministering to anybody else before, the Lord's giving them an opportunity to learn it at home. What could be greater?" It was actually a merciful thing for a family that was alienated from him, and I hope they got it. I don't know what ever happened to him, but it provoked me to pray for him, I can tell you, because it was, to me, I saw the hand of the Lord working in this household's life to bring them back into being reconciled with him. I share this because, as Davey used to say a lot of times, and many of you have heard him, he used to say, you know, there's a difference between right and wrong, and good and evil. He said when Adam ate of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, he did wrong. But it was a good thing. Sounds odd, doesn't it? It's a good thing. Why? Because God knew that man would fall. And by doing that and having Satan, the serpent, be involved in it and an accomplice to the whole crime, it set things up for his way of redeeming us all, which was sin came into the world. We had something we had to then overcome and fight against to choose to believe him. And if we could choose to believe him and walk by faith without seeing him and overcome this cursed flesh and learn to love God and love one another on this earth where there was grace, then we could have perfect peace for eternity with the Lord in heaven. That was a wonderful thing. It fit perfectly with God's plan. And see, David, when David sinned with Bathsheba and then killed Uriah, you know what? He did wrong. He had wrong, not once, but twice. He did wrong, but it was good. Why? Because of what David do, we know of the sure mercies of David. Every single person who's ever come onto this earth since then and heard of King David and the grace that God extended unto him and how God created in him a clean heart and how God forgave him, and not only forgave him, but brought his son through his seed, honored him. When I say to people, look, when God says you're forgiven and welcomes you at his table, that means you get to sit at his table. You get to partake fully, no matter what it is you ever did. It does not matter. You get to partake of every single good thing. He will give you his daughter to wed after you have been a rapist and a murderer. Think of that. I mean, look, remember he talks about the harlot shall enter in first? Rahab, the harlot. She was a child of Jericho. She was a Canaanite. She was a child of Jericho, and she was a prostitute. You know who she ended up marrying? The head, his name was Salmon, I'm pretty sure, and he was the head of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus comes through Rahab. So he took a woman who had been a harlot, which everybody in the world thought was the worst thing. And think of it today, if you were to be president or something like that, and your wife was a former prostitute, what would people think of you? I don't care. You shouldn't either. See what I'm saying? We have all these notions that we hang on to of things that hold us back and keep us in bondage. And don't hear me wrong. There are people who are going to listen to what I'm saying here today and think that what I'm talking about is justifying sin, justifying prostitution, justifying adultery, justifying any of these things. And if that's what you think, then, I mean, you're wrong. Absolutely not. God didn't justify Rahab's prostitution. He didn't save her because she was a prostitute. She saved her because she risked her life to save his people. Think of that. She believed him and chose to side with God's people over her own people to the risk of her own life. And so she was saved. All right, David, for what he did, the child died. His son died. His son slept with his wives in the sight of all Israel. He had civil war. People died. He didn't justify David in what he did. Not at all. But he did back up David's faith. And David's faith was in the mercy and in the grace of God. What is your faith in? Is it in your own righteousness? Is it in your own goodness? Is it in your own keeping of a rule book that you have established? Or is it in the blood of Jesus Christ? If it's in anything else, and if you're judging anybody by any other standard than that, and what happens when you judge by that standard, the judgment starts coming down to not what the person did, but where their faith is. what it's reflective of in their faith. That's where you start focusing. See, when people seek to justify themselves in that which they do, that is wrong. Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's justifying yourself. That's not acknowledging you did wrong. That's just using the grace of God as a license to do whatever you want to do. By contrast, when what your heart's desire is to do what the Lord would have you do, and only what the Lord would have you do in every situation, you know what? Now you end up judging yourself kind of like a guy by the name of the Apostle Paul judged himself, where he said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He was not talking about his relationship to the law. He was not talking about his relationship to a rule book. He was talking about is, notwithstanding all the knowledge and understanding of the Lord and experience he had, he still struggled on a daily basis in many different ways to stand and operate in the faith continuously and to minister in the faith continuously to those that the Lord set before him. He was but a man. He was not a God. And he struggled. And he knew there was no justification in any of his struggle. Not a one. Not a one. And so he could see himself in that as chief of all sinners, because other people and the things they did, they didn't know what he knew. They had not physically seen the risen Lord, received the word by revelation at his hand, had not raised the dead, had not cast out devils, did not have all the different things that Paul had seen and experienced, being saved from the lions at Ephesus, being stoned over where he was stoned and getting up alive, being shipwrecked, being beaten, seeing an earthquake open the prison doors and do all the different things that Paul had seen, and then to struggle over how to deal with a person right in front of him. Or what to do today. Because what the Lord would have him do today wasn't based on what he had him do yesterday. Yesterday was yesterday. Today is today. Today is another day. And you're to be peculiar as the Lord would have you be today. And that might look completely differently than the way you looked yesterday in a particular thing. And I share this because I want you guys to really get down, really take some stock and take some step back and go, all right, Lord, look, I want to yield to and learn to walk this walk of faith as you would have me walk it. As you would have me walk it. I want to grow in that, where I can wake up every day afresh, anew, knowing that you don't change, that you're still with me, that your promise is still upon me and with me. And what can I do for you today, Lord? How can I serve you today? And then to go forward in that. I mean, Davey, in many ways, he was the best I've known at ever doing this. He was, you know, Ann, did Davey have an agenda any day? He didn't have an agenda any day. Did Davey have a clock that had all the numbers falling down at the bottom and it said, who cares? Is that pretty much how Davey lived his life? Who cares, right, on those things? The rest of us, I mean, these things are like, you know, it's our march. It's like, you know, what is it when you have the thing you use in music with it? A metronome. It's like the metronome, you know. Okay, the metronome's going, all right, 1, 2, 3, turn right, 4, 5, 6, go to the bathroom, 7, 8, 9, drink some coffee, 10, 11, 12, duh, my children are here, 13, 14, 15, you know, and that's the way people live their lives. What's that? Davey did not. That is the truth. And what the Lord wants is he wants us to really just tear open the wall and become free in him. And how that's going to look for each of us, I'm not exactly sure. But I can tell you, if you can come to recognize that it is indeed all about him and that what you want to do is walk that walk of faith, he's going to work with you and he's going to open it up for you. And you're going to start stop leaning on your own understanding and all these things and how you would do it or how you would this or how you would that, and instead lean on him and walk as he would have you walk. That's really what trusting the Lord's all about. And that's really where he's seeking to take each of us individually as a fellowship. And in that, the part I look forward to is as he purifies us from all iniquity and redeems unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That peculiarness, I look forward to how it's going to manifest in each and every one of us. Because I know it's going to be awesome how the Lord brings that to pass. But that iniquity part, that purify ourselves from all iniquity, see, these things that I'm talking about are the things that we hang on to that are the pillars of iniquity. Our ways, our judgment. Those are the pillars of iniquity that we have to let come tumbling down if we're going to stand on the pillars that Christ has established and his alone. And that's going to be challenging, folks. It's going to be challenging. But you know what? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen? Amen. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And he is well able to strengthen each of us and accomplish this by his power in each of our individual lives. But we got to let him, we got to let go of the stuff we hang on to, those sacred cows that we think are so valuable, and just hang on to him. He is it all. He's it all. Amen. All right, let's sing a few more songs, and may the Lord bless you, folks. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. And we just submit ourselves unto you, Lord, and pray that you work with each of us, Lord, to digest your word and to yield, to allow you, Lord, to purify us from all iniquity, Lord, from all iniquity. And Lord, to redeem us and transform us into those peculiar people that you have called, that are zealous of good works, that we may go forward in you, bringing glory and honor unto your name. And we thank you for these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.